Welcome to Investor Talk Radio, hosted by Kurt Davis. During the show, Kurt will share tips and strategies as well as guest interviews on how you can become a successful real estate investor. Kurt Davis was a former chef for 11 years until one day had the opportunity to take a leap of faith, left cooking, and became a full-time real estate investor. Kurt has been building his personal portfolio of rental property and at the same time has helped over 500 investors around the globe purchase cash-flowing rental properties. He is a licensed realtor who has achieved multi-million dollar club status, and he is also very active in the local real estate investment club. And now, here is your host, Kurt Davis.
Welcome to Investor Talk Radio. I am your host, Kurt Davis, and today joining us will be Jeremy Veldman. Jeremy is the current president of the local real estate club here in Memphis, which is called Memphis Investors Group. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kurt, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you know, we've known each other for a while, and I know that you've got a lot of different business adventures going on here, but what we're going to focus on today is the Memphis Real Estate Investors Club. But before we really get into that, why don't you tell us briefly about yourself?
Yeah, I'm originally from Western Michigan. I moved to Memphis 21 years ago. And actually, after moving here, I went away to college for a couple of years. Then I moved to Starkville, Mississippi, lived there for 11 years, got a couple master's degrees, worked in corporate America for a while, moved back to Memphis in 2009 and became a full-time real estate investor. I work for one of the turnkey providers here in Memphis, and I've been a member of MIGS since 2006.
Now, what did you do before real estate investing? I mean, I've only known you as a real estate investor, and a lot of people will maybe only know you that way. But before real estate investing, who was Jeremy Veldman?
Well, I was a corporate guy. I was an electronics engineer. I worked for a Silicon Valley-based semiconductor company based out of San Jose, California. They had a small design center in Mississippi, and we designed computer chips, and I did that for 9 years. My background is in analog and digital integrated circuit design. I've got a master's degree in that, and then I've also got an MBA, and basically, I went to work every day, worked in a cube, sat in front of a computer designing computer chips, and did that for 9 years.
Now, did you love your job? Did you love what you were doing?
I was driven by curiosity initially, and that's what got me into it. I'm very scientific, very left-brained, and I was very passionate about the subject when I was in college and even early on in my career. But once you work a corporate job, you quickly discover that there are things beyond your control, like economic factors, hiring freezes, pay cuts, layoffs, and a lot of internal stress. So that really affected my love and my passion for the job, and I found myself a few years in really wanting to get out.
What happened, or what was it? How did you make the transition from corporate America to full-time investor? Now, don't necessarily tell us about going right into full-time investing. I've heard you speak before, and you've talked kind of about your first deal. Tell us a little bit about how real estate investing came to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was working a job. I was ready to move on, and I got a call one day from a guy out in Utah who had found me through my research on tax lien certificates. It was an investing vehicle I was looking to get into. He invited me on a webinar the next night, which I sat in on, and it was hosted by Robert Allen, who wrote the book Nothing Down, How to Buy Real Estate with Little or No Money Down, and I was hooked immediately. The next day, I got on a call with him, told him I wanted to be a protege in his multiple streams of income program. Signed up, stroked him a check for $13,000, went through all the courses, including the real estate strategies and getting started course. And early on, I was being coached by a guy once a week who was actually living in New Zealand. He was a buy and hold guy. And shortly after that, was basically told to join my local RIA. So I did, and I just started blasting out offers. I was like a bull in a china shop, and hooked up my first property about 60 days in. Closed on it a couple months later, and bought my first investment property in November of 2006, and just kind of took it from there.
So would you say that once that happened, the rest is history?
Pretty much.
Now, when this was happening, when you signed up for this Robert Allen course, you were still a full-time corporate employee, correct?
That's correct.
How long would you say from that time it took you to leave corporate America, and how more importantly, how did you know when the time was right?
Well, it took me a couple of years because I had to replace my income. And initially, I was focusing on buying and holding, which is great, but it's hard to buy groceries off of rental income initially. So I discovered about a year in that I need to learn how to wholesale. And in order to wholesale, I need to learn how to buy and build a buyer's list. And to build a buyer's list, I had to learn about marketing. So emotionally, I was ready right away from day one, but logistically, it took me a few years to get to a point where I had the skill set, the list, and the deal flow to be able to replace my income.
And absolutely, I totally agree. Now, tell us a little bit about the Memphis Investors Group. Tell us a little bit about your history with the club.
Well, I attended my first meeting in November of 2006. At that time, the club was a little over 5 years old. We used to meet at the Germantown, not the Civic Center, I forget the name of the building, but the bottom line is it was a large room. We had a few hundred people in there, and that was back in the heydays of real estate investing. And I became a member shortly after that, and throughout 2007, I was working on my first rehab. Heard Robin Thompson speak and attended her seminar and learned how to do rehabbing correctly, and then started buying and holding some more properties. So bottom line is I joined MIG in early 07 and have basically been attending on and off ever since then. Became a board member actually in 2009, and it kind of grew from there.
All right, so how different is the real estate market, maybe specifically for Memphis, as opposed to now? What were you seeing then as opposed to now?
Well, in 2006, 2007, real estate was still red hot. I mean, we were still in that period of irrational exuberance, the euphoria of being able to buy, fix, sell, or buy and hold. I mean, people couldn't lose in the market if you bought properties. It was crazy starting in the early 2000s all the way up until about that time. So it's kind of interesting that I got in right around the time that the real estate euphoria was ending and the bubble was about to burst. In fact, a year later, 2008, is when the bubble really burst and the economy crashed. So when I started, real estate was still red hot. There were hundreds of people attending the Memphis Investors Group. Everybody was looking to get in. And then shortly after that, it really changed. Our numbers fell precipitously. And, you know, our attendance was down, and a lot of people who were making a killing a few years earlier really suffered because they overreached and really through no fault of their own, but through macroeconomic circumstances were just caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was very fortunate, I think, to get in when I did because I missed out on overreaching, and I had an opportunity to get in at the bottom and kind of ride the wave back up.
And I kind of started in the exact same place. Now, what I also find very interesting is, and maybe you can agree with this, is that, you know, call it circa 2007, 2008, prices at that time were not as good as they are now, but there were more people. When you look at it from a club level, there was 200, 300, 400 some people at a meeting at any given time. Fast forward to the last couple of years, there has not been that many people at the meeting, but I think real estate is even better.
It is better. It's ironic because if you tie up a deal today and bring it to our group, you'd have a hard time wholesaling it because the numbers are lower. However, the numbers on that deal, I'm sorry, let me back up. The numbers in terms of attendance are a lot lower at our Memphis Investors Group today as opposed to 5 or 6 years ago. But if you look at the numbers of the deal that we could tie up and bring to that group, it would be much better than 6 or 7 years ago when you could take a wholesale deal and sell it immediately because everybody was buying back then.
Now, you mentioned this just a minute or so ago, but you said that you got on the board of directors back in, when was that?
2009.
And what were some of the things that you were doing with the board directors or to help out the club at that time? Just give us an idea of some of the things that you did.
Yeah, it was November of 2009 I'm sorry, 2011. Let me back up. It was November of 2011. You and I actually joined at the same time.
Correct.
So, and really at that time, the board was looking for some young blood, some younger guys who were hungry, ambitious, had new ideas. And I think the thing that you and I share, Kurt, is a mutual passion for internet marketing and some of the unique things that you can do online today because the web is so ubiquitous. So we were looking to bring that component in. And really, I served in that capacity, really to increase the marketing and increase the exposure of the group. And eventually, I was asked to serve as vice president. The vice president role isn't really that critical compared to, let's say, the president or the treasurer or some of the other roles. But it's a title. It's a position. And I think all along, slowly being groomed through experience on the board to take over one day as the president.
And we will get to that a little bit later, but why don't you tell us what does a typical meeting look like, maybe from the structure of how the meetings are laid out? Give us a little insight as to what a typical meeting looks like for maybe, say, somebody who's never come to a meeting before but they're looking to come. What can they expect?
Well, there's about 70 to 100 people at any given meeting who are in attendance. And the main meeting starts at 7 o'clock p.m. There's a half-hour preliminary session where we basically introduce the club, talk about the history a little bit, and make announcements as far as upcoming events, as well as any ideas or any business that needs to be discussed. And then really the main speaker starts around 7:30. Most of our meetings are a featured speaker, whether it's a local expert or a national speaker. And then we also have some panels, which, interestingly enough, are pretty popular. And this is where you have three or four people, local experts, on a given topic who will sit and be asked questions formally by a moderator. And then at the end of that session, the general audience has a chance to ask questions as well. And let me say one other thing. We are very conscientious about the audience's, audience's feedback. So we have comment cards at every meeting. We solicit feedback. We review comments at our board meetings. We really want to make the club grow and continue to add value to people, both veteran members as well as new people who are looking to get into the group.
And I'm sure it sometimes can be tricky because though there's a lot of new people at the club who are fairly new investors just getting started, there's also that mixture of experienced investors, and you're trying to keep their interest because maybe some of the newer beginner intermediate type stuff might not be of interest to them. It's trying to draw that fine line of how do you keep both people engaged.
Yeah, that's always a fine balance. And the bottom line is you can't keep everybody happy, but it's the biggest challenge of all. How do you continue to add value to the veteran people so that they'll stay and want to come, as well as educating the new people and putting them on a specific path to getting started so that they know how to break into this business? It's a challenge.
Now, does the club offer any other seminars or any other meetings? I mean, is there anything else going on that MIG is sponsoring aside from just the regular monthly meeting?
We do, absolutely. The regular monthly meeting meets the second Thursday of every month. The following Saturday, we have a Saturday Super Series or a Saturday workshop, and that's typically the Saturday after the main MIG meeting. And that's where we'll have either a local speaker or a national speaker, if he's in town, really build upon and do a more detailed workshop on a subject. And those will be anywhere from 3 to 6 hours long. In addition to that, we have Friday luncheons at the Butcher Shop on Germantown. This is a great opportunity for people to come out, have lunch, and mingle with some of the veteran investors and really pick their brain and get some good information. I learned a lot about this business that way. We also have a Tuesday night MIG meet and eat session at the Nukes in Germantown, and this starts at 6 and goes till 9, and this is where we have a local expert talk where people get together informally, have dinner, and then there's a presentation. Kurt, I know you did one of these sessions recently, and I understand the numbers were very good. The attendance was very good.
It was fantastic. I had a great time. You know, the topic I spoke on was how to buy and sell real estate with little or no money down. And I think there was about 40 or so people there, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of good energy, and I had a good time doing it. And I think that the people that were there gained a lot of knowledge as well.
Yeah, and it's a very relevant topic.
Now, what does it cost to become a member of the club?
It's $150 a year for a single person. For a couple to join, it's $225 a year. And we also have two sponsorship programs. If you're a vendor and you have a business in town that you want to expose and promote through the group, $500 a year, and that includes four membership slots. And then if you want to be a silver sponsor, it's $250 a year. The benefit to being gold is you get not only the four memberships, but you get a 60-second spotlight at the beginning of every meeting. And I'm also offering gold sponsors an opportunity to do a video promo to put on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MIGMemphis. And Kurt, let me just say this, $150 a year to get what you get, the value, not only of the 12 sessions, but also the workshops and the other events, is just an unbelievable bargain compared to what some of us have paid to get educated in this business.
I mean, when you think about it, the nominal fee that it costs to become a member is really irrelevant. I mean, the people that you get to associate with, the amount of experience that's in the room and the networking that comes with that is, it should really be $150 a meeting, but it's $150 a year.
Yeah, it's just ridiculously cheap.
Now, how is Memphis Investors Group different than, say, other RIAs around the country that are for-profit? Can you give us a little bit, tell us what a for-profit club would look like?
Well, it's run more like a business. Every meeting, the goal is to sell and raise as much capital as possible. And so it's really more about the bottom line and the dollars, as opposed to a nonprofit or not-for-profit organization like the Memphis Investors Group, where we're focused primarily on educating people and empowering people to be successful. Our goal is not so much money-driven as much as it is goodwill-driven. We want to empower people and give them the knowledge, the education, and the resources that they need to become successful investors. We want to change people's lives, not just make money.
Now, I know that you've really only been the current president for a few months. How would you say things have been going so far?
Overall, I'm very pleased. We've had two, I think, very good meetings, the January presidential address, and then this past February we had Jimmy Luke, a local CPA/investor, who had a lot of good information, I think, to give. The attendance was very well. The biggest thing, though, that I'm most pleased about is the contributions of the board. I think the division of labor has been pretty good. People are stepping up and filling their roles and their responsibilities. There's a lot of passion and a lot of energy. So, and people really want to see, you know, myself, you, Kurt, Richard, Joe, some of the other members of the board really want to see MIG continue to grow and develop and play a role. So there's a lot of moving parts to being president of a group like this and making sure everything runs smoothly. But my job is a lot easier when everyone else fills in and takes responsibility. So I'm very pleased with how things are going.
What would you say some of the challenges have been so far? Has there anything that since being president you never expected, or anything that's been difficult?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're always managing people and personalities, and you've got to make decisions along the way about organizing a meeting or bringing in a speaker or doing an event. And some people are going to be happy with your decisions, and then there are some people who are not going to be happy. So you just anytime you're in a position like this, you've got to be willing to accept criticism along with the praise. And you do your best to try and keep people happy, but the reality is not everybody is going to be happy. So you just make the best decisions you can at the time that you think are for the group, and then you go from there.
Now, there have been many great past presidents of the Memphis Investors Group. What are you hoping to do or to bring value to the club? Like, what are you going to do different? What does Jeremy Veldman want to do differently than what maybe some of the other past presidents have done?
Well, I want to continue to expose our group and give it an identity, give it a face, and continue to add value to people who are looking to break into real estate investing, but really take it a step further. I want to make it entertaining. I want to make it engaging. I want to make it fun. I want to make it compelling and interesting. And I want to go beyond. If I accomplish one thing, it would be to take a step beyond just real estate investing and be able to mold it as general entrepreneurial principles, entrepreneurship principles. So yes, real estate is the focus of our group, but we're business owners too. We're entrepreneurs. We're pioneers. We're out there hacking, making this work. So each day is a challenge for us. We all have to make 1,000 decisions, you know, in any given segment of a day, and really to add value by helping people put structure, organization, and purpose into their businesses and into their lives. That would be something, you know, if MEG can be instrumental in doing that, that would be, during my administration, that would be fantastic, as well as just the technical things, promoting the YouTube channel, doing more with video, doing more with podcasts, doing more writing on Bigger Pockets and social media, letting the world know that we exist and that we are a premier real estate investment association.
Now, one question, Eli, I should have actually asked you a little while ago that I didn't, but you know, I want to ask it. When we were talking about, you know, what other events does Memphis Investors Group offer aside from the regular meeting, and you know, one thing I wanted to ask you was, the club does bring in national speakers a few times a year, correct?
We do. We've got one coming in May, Lou Brown. We've got another one coming in September, a wholesaling expert. We haven't made a final decision on that yet, but we bring in 2 to 3 national speakers a year, and these are guys who are out there on the circuit, you know, promoting their courses and their knowledge base throughout the country. We've had some great speakers in the past. Robin Thompson's been here, the Queen of Rehab, last October. We had Alan Cowgill before, Donna Bauer, Larry Goins.
Wendy Patton,
yeah.
Andrew Cordell was fantastic.
Andrew Cordell was exceptional. I really enjoyed him last June. He had a great story. And, I mean, there's just some really great speakers out there that the value is not only in the Thursday night meeting, but the Saturday workshop where they have a chance to really open up and the hood of their business and show you their system. Andrew Cordell is an excellent example of that. When he did the Saturday workshop in June, he went all out for 6 hours and really showed us what he was doing. So these national speakers, yeah, they're selling courses and there's an investment, but when they come to town and speak, not only Thursday night, but especially on Saturday, they really add a lot of value.
Now we're kind of wrapping up our talk here, Jeremy, and you know, I got a few final questions here for you. But why should somebody become a member of MIG? And you know, more importantly, you know, we come to the monthly meetings, and I know that there's usually a segment where we ask who's been here for the first time, and then when they stand up, on average, we're seeing 10 to 15 people every meeting. And I know that there's a conversion percentage there, and you know, you always hope that more people will become members. And we know that it's not just a Memphis thing, that it's more a national thing. This happens at all RIAs all over the country. There's a lot of new people that stand up for the first time, and the amount that sign up to become members maybe within the next 30 days are fairly low. But why should somebody become a member of the Memphis Investors Group?
Well, the best way to answer that question is just to tell my story. And really, it comes down to one word, synergy. And that's when the sum is greater than the individual parts. MEG has changed my life. When I joined MEG and got involved, I met a lot of people. And these people are my friends now and really my family. I consider MIG to be an extension of my family because I'm surrounded by individuals who are like-minded. They have the same values that I do when it comes to not only life but entrepreneurship, not working a job but getting out on your own, starting a business, struggling, and then continuing to add value. I've met some incredible individuals, the graybeards in the group, Richard Scarborough, Joe Kirkland, Kevin McDonald, Kevin Perk, who have been in this business a long time, have a lot of knowledge, as well as you know, some new people too. I mean, I met you, Kurt. You and I have interacted a lot. I've learned a lot from you. I think we've learned a lot from each other. Alex Craig, my current business partner, who's an exceptional entrepreneur and individual in the turnkey space. My best friend, Gene Yoder, who has a very interesting business. I could go on and on. But the bottom line is, when you join an association like MIG, Memphis Investors Group, you meet other entrepreneurs who are hungry, who are out there doing it. You share ideas. You create a synergy that transforms your life. It gets you out of where you currently are and puts you into a whole new realm. And now you have a support system. You have a team. You have a group of individuals that you can interact with, bounce ideas off of. And iron sharpens iron. You know, they make you better, you make them better. And then it's just a growth experience from them from that point on that can be incredibly compelling and quite frankly, spiritual. So that's the real value of joining a group like MIG.
I completely agree. And, you know, some of the value that, you know, I see is for new members or anybody new coming to Memphis Investors Group, you don't have to worry about, you know, and I used to see this in other real estate clubs, you know, the new person shows up and then you've got a lot of people attacking them, trying to get them to be their customer or client. You don't see that at our club. There's no hard sell. You don't have to worry about wholesalers trying to get the new member to be their client. It's really all about helping people and education. I feel that I've been very fortunate too. Whenever I'm asked to either lead a group or help with a seminar or do one of the Saturday seminars, it's humbling because I truly enjoy being able to give back to the new people. And you always hope that as a teacher, you hope that out of all the people that you're teaching, that at least somebody will do something with the knowledge that you've given them.
That's exactly right. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said it. You can get anything you want in life by helping enough people get what they want. And I think that's the gist of the Memphis Investors Group. We're in this to add value, to add goodwill, and to really help people, not be a hard sell and try to get money out of them. So it's not a situation where you walk in the door and you feel like you got to hang on to your wallet. And, you know, I've got to say, Kurt, you know, I've seen you over the years, too, be very passionate about MIG, put a lot of time and energy into it, the workshops that you've done, presentations that you've done, as well as the ideas you bring to the board meeting. And that's just a small slice, but it's a very important slice. And it's one that makes me more motivated as president to continue to pour energy into this. I mean, both of us have projects we're working on. You're doing things for MIG. I'm doing some separate things for MIG. The goal is we want to give back. This is our opportunity to give back and to share our knowledge and experience in this business.
Final thoughts.
If you're listening to this and you're in a position in your life where you want to make a change, maybe you're working a job that's not fulfilling, or maybe you're working a job that, you know, you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you know it could possibly be a layoff or something where you need to make a change, or maybe you're just looking for something to make you more independent on your own. Real estate is a compelling business. It's very lucrative. It's created more self-made millionaires than any other business in this country. But it's not a lone ranger sport. It's a team sport. And to really do this successfully, you've got to be a part of a group, part of an organization that can give you the resources, the knowledge, and the support that you need, as well as help you through the hard times. And that's the real value of getting involved with the Memphis Investors Group. It's our support system. I've met my best friends. I've met some of my best mentors through MIG, and I think it's a great group. I'm looking forward to continuing to add value and help the group grow. And Kurt, I've really appreciated your efforts along the way as well.
Thank you, Jeremy. Now, what's the website for the club?
To learn more, our website is memphisinvestorsgroup.com, and we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Memphis Investors Group, and we're also on YouTube, youtube.com/MIG, M-I-G, Memphis.
And what's your email address?
My email address is migpresidentjv@gmail.com. Again, that's migpresident, J as in Jeremy, V as in Veldman, @gmail.com.
So anybody out there listening, if you're interested in the Memphis Investors Group, check them out on the web. If you want to contact Jeremy personally, you got his email address. So I want to thank you, Jeremy, for sitting down with me today to discuss the Memphis Investors Group with us, to, you know, give people more of an insight as to what's really going on. You can go to the website and you can look at the website, but I don't think that you'll get the idea as opposed to hearing what you had to say today.
I appreciate you having me, Kurt.
That's going to wrap up our episode of Investor Talk Radio. I am your host, Kurt Davis. Until next time, stay safe.
This show was produced by Kurt Davis and KurtDavisOnline.com. All rights reserved. To reach Kurt Davis, you can find him on the web at www.KurtDavisOnline.com or email him at Kurt@KurtDavisOnline.com. Everything you heard on this show should not be taken as personal or professional advice. You should conduct your own due diligence. Opinions or comments of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Kurt Davis or KurtDavisOnline.com. We'll be right back.